I wanted to ask you a little bit about what it was like for you when Tamar came out of the closet. Do you remember when she told you?
Certainly do. I'll start from the beginning. I felt many years ago that Tamar was like a boy. She acted like a boy, and she told me when she went to Ireland, it was Ireland, and she said she had a date with a fellow, and he kissed her. And I'll never forget what she said. She said to me, "It was disgusting, Baba." And I felt that something was wrong, you know? So when Tamar came and told me and Papa that she was gay and that she was going with Ariel, we knew it. We knew it. We saw it many years. So she started to cry because she thought that I would be terribly affected, and she's such a loving child. And I took her around and I said, "Tamar, if you are happy, that's perfectly all right with us." And she said, "Thank you for accepting it that way. That is wonderful, really." And Papa told her also, "We love you, whatever you are, whatever you do, because you're our granddaughter, and you're a wonderful granddaughter." And so she was here in the living room for quite a while and really crying. We didn't cry because we knew that she was gay for many years. And we love her very, very dearly. But I will tell you this, it will be a hole in my heart forever.
What is?
The fact that she's gay and not married to a man.
It's so it's hard for you on some level.
Very hard for me. Very hard, yes.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you accepted her right away,
Certainly
and
did.
Papa did, as really
Absolutely.
the whole family did.
That's right.
And a lot of people who are generations younger than you,
Right.
and hypothetically generations more enlightened, do not do that. And I wanted to know how you and Papa were able to accept her right away and love her unconditionally like that.
Absolutely. We always will love her
How were you
unconditionally.
able to do that?
Because she's a wonderful granddaughter, and she's very kind and loving and always was. And as she was growing up, we used to come to your house almost every Sunday here in Englewood, and I'd play with her, and she was just wonderful, and we loved each other. And whatever she is, as you said, unconditionally, we love her.
So why then, if she's very happy, and she is, she's married to a
Absolutely.
wonderful girl
Certainly.
whom you love, I know
Oh,
that.
yes.
Why then, is there a hole in your heart?
Because I guess I was brought up to see man and woman marry and have children, never to see two girls make love, which bothers me terribly, terribly.
Well, do you think that it is a genetic thing that people are
Yes,
born with?
I think it was.
I do
Even
too.
Daddy says it.
I do too. So why then is it a tragedy?
I was brought up that way, maybe. And she's such a beautiful girl, inside and out. To look at her, I mean, she takes your breath away. She's so beautiful. And I feel that if she were married to a man, it would be better for me.
How would it be better?
Because she'd have a real life. I mean, she has a real life now. She's very, very happy. But she'd have children with a man.
She'd have a more
With a,
traditional life.
yeah, exactly.
But sometimes
Yes.
things that are traditional are not good, and sometimes things that aren't traditional are good. So I know it's uncomfortable, but why, how would it be better?
Because that's the way life is. That's the way I was brought up. In fact, I never knew what gay meant. I didn't know what gay meant for many, many, many years.
Did you ever know anyone who was gay when you were young?
No. I guess there were, but I didn't know it. I found out very late in life. Very late.
Do you remember when you did?
When I found out? When Daddy and Mommy told me that Tamar was going with Dariel and that she was gay.
Oh, that's when you first... But when did you first... I misunderstood.
I understand what you're asking me. Yeah. When I first found out what gay is.
Yeah. Homosexuality.
Not 15 years ago.
And do you and Papa have... Did you and Papa have good talks about this when Tamar came out on your own?
Papa was wonderful. He accepted it immediately. He said, she's my granddaughter. I love her. And we've got to love her that way and accept her. And we did.
Did you look to him a little bit to see sort of how he was going to react?
Yes.
To help you understand how you might react?
Exactly. He spoke to me a lot about it to help me, you know. And he did help me. Yes.
Has it been that way a lot in your life, that you look to him a little bit to see what...
A lot. Yes, I do, because I consider Papa extremely, extremely intelligent. And I always tell him that, which is the truth. And he just knows everything. When I ask him a question, then he can't answer. I say, Mac, you don't know the answer? And he says, I don't know everything.
So it's a big comfort to be able to bounce things off of him.
It is a tremendous comfort.
So is it fair to say that it was a little bit more difficult for you than for him?
Yes, I think so.
And now, tell me about your relationship with Tamar and Ariel.
Well, I love them both. I really love Ariel. She's a lovely girl, you know, wonderful partner, whatever you can call it. And I love them both, and we treat them the same way, because she's my granddaughter. She really is. She gets the same gift. She gets the same everything. It wouldn't be any other way.
Has it become a little easier for you?
It has become a little easier. Mm-hmm.
Was it a little difficult for you to talk to your friends about it?
Yes. When I told it to my friend Sylvia a few years ago, she said, what a waste. I said, what do you mean a waste? She said, Tamar is so beautiful. She's going to live with a girl when she could have a man. And that's the way it should be, because she's a gorgeous, wonderful girl. But she said, look, Hill, you're doing the right thing. You're accepting it beautifully.
I think one of the special things is that because our family is very well respected, and because you're very well respected, and Papa's very well respected, your reactions and your embracing of Tamar and Ariel has made other people rethink their sort of reflective discomfort with homosexuality.
Maybe so. As a matter of fact, quite a few people have said to me, boy, Hilda and Mac, have you accepted this? It's been wonderful the way you accept this, you know, unconditionally. Right.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your other grandchildren. We'll go in the order in which they were born. So, Karen, tell me about your relationship with her.
Well, I think she's Papa's girl. He adores everyone. But she was the first child, first grandchild, and we had so much love for her, which we certainly do. We babysat for her a lot, we played with her a lot, and I think Papa is crazy about her. He always was, really. The first one always is that way.
And you must have been so happy when she got married.
Oh, my God, we were thrilled. Mark is, you know what I told him? I said, Mark, you're a gentleman and a scholar. He said, Baba, that is so nice. Thank you. I said, I mean it sincerely. He's a lovely boy. You know that.
I love Mark very much.
He's a wonderful boy. Right.
And what was it like when you became a great-grandparent for the first time?
Noah loved him. He has a Mark's personality, exactly. Whereas the gorgeous Rosie, she's just my love of my life.
And I was the second grandchild, so talk about me as if I was not here.
Yeah, we do. I will. I certainly will.
All right, hit it.
I always loved you. Always. You know that. You know how we acted.
Yeah.
When we came and everything. I accepted the house that you made in the back.
Oh, tell me about that. What did you think? Did you think I was crazy?
No. No, I really didn't.
Why do you think I needed to get out of the house like that?
You should know. I don't
know.
I
do know. I mean, what was your thinking about? I had difficulties with Daddy. We used to get difficulties. Yeah. So what do you think about that?
That?
It must be hard to see your child and your grandchild not get along very well for a while. Now we get along very well.
Oh, I know that. I know. You know, growing up, there are a lot of changes. When you're very young, then when you're older and older. You see, today, you're such great friends. You love them. Whenever you come in, Dad, I want to talk to you. I want to do this. It's wonderful.
I respect him.
I know you do.
And admire him.
Yes, yeah. I know. And you love him.
I do love him.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Do you, you were just saying that you had a conversation with him. Excuse me. Yeah, you had a conversation with him.
Right.
Tell me about that.
I sat down with him and I said, Kenny.
When was this?
This is a few months ago. Just recently. I said, Kenny, you know, I'm 87 and I think that you should come and visit with us at least once a week for about a half hour. Just sit down and talk to us. I said, I would love it. And so he said, okay, okay. He says, but you know, Mom, very busy and everything. I said, I understand. So if you're very busy, you won't do it. But I would appreciate if you would visit us, not only Shabbos do we see you, but if I could just sit down and talk to you, because you bring a lot of sunshine in our lives. And he said he would do it, but I think he forgot.
Well, you see him every Shabbat.
Yeah. For how long? 10 minutes.
You'd like to see him more often.
I love it. I love to look at him.
You said that when he goes out the door and he leaves, you talk to Papa. You were saying how much...
How much? As soon as he walks out, I say to Papa, I love that boy. I love him.
Yeah. I'll ask you as the sort of detached journalist, I have to, I'll say something about myself. So we talked about my accident, and I'll ask you two things then. I'll ask you about a good thing and a bad thing. The difficult thing, obviously, is my divorce and what you thought about that. And the good thing is that I've had a successful career, and I know it's something that you've always enjoyed.
Why
so
not?
Tell me first about my divorce.
I was very happy because I never thought that she was normal. I hate to use that word, but it's the truth. Even with the invitation for the wedding, you know, that was ridiculous. And
you mean how sort of how much time went into it with all that?
That's right. Yeah. Right. And whenever she came, she wouldn't talk, you know, too much.
Yeah.
And I just saw a lot of crazy things. I was not sorry when you divorced her. No.
Well, I can tell you, as having been married to her, that you're right. I adored her, but she had a lot of problems.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But one of the things that I, this is now not really an interview, but I want to say, one of the things that I wanted to make abundantly clear, I remember I sat down with you and Papa and Mommy in the kitchen, and I wanted it to be completely clear that even though we were getting divorced, that you wouldn't ever speak badly about her or anything. I don't know if you remember this, because I loved her so much, and I wished that things had been good between us.
Would never be.
But it wasn't possible.
Never. Her mother wasn't normal.
I know.
Do you know, I was friends with her grandmother.
I know, it's the same
and
problem.
And do you know what her grandmother told me? My daughter never calls. And when she calls, she only talks about her business and
that's
business.
That's a separate issue, but...
Yeah, that's what she told me.
But anyway, so... And you'd obviously been through divorce before in the family with Dennis, so you... I wasn't the first person who...
No, but yours affected me more.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because you were young and starting out life, you know, and Dennis... He did what he wanted. That was the attitude I had. But I was very sad. I only pray that in my lifetime I will see you happily married.
I think we'll...
I pray for that all the time.
I think we'll get there.
That you shouldn't rush.
I'm not.
I know.
Trust
get
me.
Get the right girl.
Thank you.
Oh, would I be happy. I'll buy a gorgeous dress.
Tell me a little bit about... my job and how you think about that.
Well, we're so proud of you. Everyone knows about you. You're brilliant. Your last article...
I'm really not brilliant, Bob. I'm a good journalist, but I'm not brilliant.
Josh, your last article was genius. It was fabulous. Really, it was wonderful.
Thank you. You mean the one about the Iranian photographer. And that was exciting for you. You met him.
I'm so glad that we can enjoy part of your life. It's wonderful.
It's a thrill to share it with
that
you.
That was wonderful.
It's a huge thrill.
That was wonderful.
I think everyone, every kid, you know, and growing up has a challenge, you know. Some of the people struggle more in their personal lives. Some of the people struggle more in their professional
lives.
Tell me a little bit about Benjamin and your relationship with him. And
he's a very warm child. I always loved him, yes. He's very outgoing and warm. And he married a wonderful girl. She is so great, Dahlia. I just love her. And now, Jakey, he's a beautiful child. Brings me a lot of happiness, really. But of course, if Benji had a job, I'd be happier. That bothers me a lot.
Dahlia has a wonderful job.
Oh, she's going back to work.
She's a hard worker.
Very hard. I think in about a week or two that she's going back to work. Yes. They want her desperately. They love her.
Yeah. Then there's grandchild number 5 who's sitting here. So unfortunately, you also have to be careful.
This
I'm just
David
kidding.
He's such a doll. He really is a wonderful boy.
Poor. Well, tell me, let me ask you this. What was it like suddenly having a grandchild from the other son? That must have been a different experience.
I don't know if it's a different experience, but I was so thrilled when David moved here. You know, we got together, and then he got Esty, that beautiful girl. She's a doll. I mean, Kanahara, they're a wonderful couple. And he never forgets to call me. He's great. And I appreciate it very much. Very much.
And I don't know. Tell me your thoughts about the fact that now Dennis has been married a few times and is entering into a third marriage probably, and so other children have entered the family together. As well, Anya and Aaron. And tell me about that.
Well, Anya, I don't have much to do with her. I was never crazy about her. She gave Dennis a lot of trouble growing up, a lot. And I know David knows about it. And she was not my type, never was. Now she married a nice man. Aaron, I was never warm with him, never. He was a very difficult child. And maybe... Maybe he'll be better now that he's in this place, you know?
Why, when you say, why weren't you warm with him? Because why is it not good to be warm to a child who's in a difficult place?
No, not now. Growing up.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, right. He never spoke to me. He just never looked at us, at me and Papa. Really, he ignored us. And I tried speaking with him. Nothing helped. He was just a very difficult child. I always used to speak to David about him, and David would always say, "It's getting better, getting better." I never saw it.
Well, now he is, you said, he mentioned this place he went to a camp, I think.
Right.
And so he has taken it.
He never spoke to me as
well
much as he did.
That's wonderful.
I had a wonderful conversation with him when I hung up. I was so happy. You can't imagine. I gained a grandchild.
People go through difficult periods, and he had a lot of turmoil, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of Sturm und Drang, so
I
understand.
His mother was wonderful to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She spoiled him terribly. Terribly. She really did.
So, yeah. That was Diane who just called,
right.
And it's an interesting segue, because I was going to ask you about the children of, you know, and the grandchildren of all of your...
We spoke about Diane, I think, in the last session.
Well, we talked a little bit about when she was very young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you and Papa have been a sort of surrogate parents and grandparents to all sorts of people.
Not now, because we're very far.
But you talk to them.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Diane and Nancy, absolutely.
What would you say, you know, to all these young people just getting going in their lives, these young married couples and these young kids? You've had such a happy life and a successful life by almost every single measurement.
Right,
so what bits of advice would you give to people?
Well, oh, you're not talking about Diane and Nancy.
No, to all
people. You
know,
if Dennis had me on the radio and he said to me, "What do you attribute to your 67 years of marriage?" And you know what I would say? I love them. And I just do things that you would when you love a person. I can't give any other answer.
Well, Papa, as wonderful as he is,
yes,
is a human being. And he's not perfect. So you must have had to make compromises, and you had to make decisions. What are some of the things that you would pass on to people to having a successful marriage?
Well, first of all, I think I changed Papa in many ways. I told him that we have to travel. And how did I change him? I don't know. He used to be very moody. And I think I cut him out of it. I don't think he's moody anymore. Really isn't. And what else? I don't know. But I know that I changed him.
And what about, how did he change you?
He didn't.
And let me ask you this, Baba. What would you say about, I see that you don't argue much. And how do you diffuse difficult situations, you and Papa?
I just let it go. I don't continue with it. You know? I say, "That's it," or Papa says, "That's it," and finished. We just don't continue.
And what
I'd like to get my opinion, the opinion of the newlyweds here about that.
We could talk to them about it afterwards.
Right.
And what about as a parent? You said you would do a few things differently. What advice would you give to people in that respect?
Give your children a lot of love. Just don't be very harsh with them like I was. Talk to them a lot. Find out what's troubling them. And hold the child when the child cries. don't let the child cry, which I did.
That bothers you that you did that?
Very much so. Very much.
And it seems to me also that that's one little yardstick of change, but it seems that you've maybe changed in some ways as you've gotten older.
I would think so, because I see the way the great-grandchildren are being brought up with love, and that the parents never let them cry. They hold them. They love them.
And looking back on this whole, on your life, one of the things when we were talking early on, you were really the gleam in your parents' eye, I think.
Yes, I was.
And I think that that set you off on a path of feeling good about yourself and happiness and finding a good mate. Do you think a lot of all this had to do with the way you saw yourself as a child and the way you were treated?
Absolutely. My father, and not my mother, loved us all equally, but my father loved Chippy and me very, very much. I was Hindala, and Chippy was Chippala. And when Papa would come home from work, you know, he'd embrace me and Chippy and forget about Pearl and Esther.
And yet, as wonderful as, I mean, and as wonderful, not and yet, new paragraph, that was wonderful. But you also said to Papa something that you've repeated to us a lot, that he was always going to be your number one, no matter what. Papa, your husband. I'm sorry, not your father.
I'm sorry.
So tell us a little bit about that. You know, as much as you loved your kids and all that, he was going to be your number one.
He would be my number one.
What are you thinking?
I'm trying to get an answer.
Do you know what I'm referring to, right?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Surely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't know. He would always be my number one. He always was. He always will be.
But I mean, that's something that a lot of people might not say, you know?
I know.
And I know that he has said to me a million times how important that was and how much he appreciated that and how special that was.
Right. Yeah.
You think that was part of your success together, that you were so good to each other and that you were each other's biggest priority?
You put it very well, yes. I would say so. But I don't know about the children, how I would say he's number one.
It's tricky, in other words, because there's only one. I see you're, right now you're holding back in a way you never do.
I'm struggling. I really don't know the answer. I'll have to think about it and put it on the tape the next time.
What do you not know the answer to?
The answer to when he was number one over the children.
Well, I wasn't even asking when. I'm just sort of, you know, that's something that it was a distinction that you always made.
Yes.
To me, you said it to me. So.
Absolutely, and I always will. Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If the children would say something and I didn't agree, and I'd say, Mac, what do you think? And he'd say it, and then I'd agree with Mac.
Yeah. You've agreed on just about everything all these years.
Yes.
On all the big things.
That's right. I usually do. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You've said that you don't want him to go before you.
No way. I made a pact with God.
What was your pact?
Pact was that I go first.
And if you don't go first, what?
It'll be a very hard life.
I see.
Very hard. After all, I met him when I was 16.
Yeah.
You know? So he's part of me.
But he doesn't want to go first.
I know.
I mean, he doesn't want it. I meant to say he doesn't want you to go first.
That's
is what
right,
I meant to say.
Because when we're together, Papa always says, Hill, don't you dare leave me. Don't you dare get sick. You're my alter ego. Isn't it wonderful, both of us together here, talking and living? He says, remember, you're never going anywhere. And I said, you're not going anywhere.
Well, I saw when you, tell us about when you had a surgery.
Yes.
What happened?
I had two surgeries.
What were
they? When I had the second surgery, my heart attack, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, he was with me every day, as you were. And he was heartbroken. He couldn't sleep at night. He came home to an empty house, and he said it was terrible. Terrible.
That was obviously the most precarious medical situation you'd ever been in.
Exactly.
Did it make you think of certain things, or?
No. I never thought of dying. No, I didn't.
And you recovered incredibly quickly.
I did.
Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't surprise me. Not at all. I knew I would.
That's wonderful, because sometimes with lesser grave medical issues,
right,
they've had a greater effect on you in a way. And this very important and scary thing you rallied from incredibly quickly.
You know, you visited me every day.
Yeah, I did.
Never forget it.
Thank you, Baba. What do you hope for, just to continue now towards, you know, you will soon be entering your 10th decade of life.
Right.
You know, when you hit 90 years
old. Right.
Is there anything that you hope for still, or you just want more?
I always hope that my children and grandchildren will be happy and be well and enjoy their lives as much as we have and we do. And, of course, I say the rest is up to God between Papa and myself. As long as we're together, we're happy. We're going on our train trip, and I'm looking forward to that. And we're just going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're going on a trip to visit tomorrow now. You're going cross country.
Absolutely.
And Papa has a reunion with the men from the Bollinger. That'll
That's
be a trip.
That's right.
You still have a lot of adventures.
I'm very excited about that.
And I think it's beautiful even how you just go to shul together now in your amigos, in your little battery-powered carts, and you do everything together.
Everyone loves to see us.
It was interesting. You struggled more initially with getting into a wheelchair than he did. I think, what was uncomfortable about it for you?
My pride. You know, when I first got in the wheelchair and people saw me, they were shocked. They go, oh, what's wrong? I said, nothing. I just can't walk, that's all. And now they grew accustomed to it.
How did you get over that initial hesitation?
It was never difficult for me.
Well, there was a period where you didn't want it, even though you knew it would help you a lot.
Yeah, but it didn't take too long. I just went in that wheelchair. I said, I'm not going to sit home Shabbos. I want to get to shul. The only way I can get to shul is with a wheelchair or an amigo, and that's it.
Do you believe in Olam Haba, in the world to come?
Sure,
I do. What do you believe it is?
I believe it is that we're all going to see each other. I do. And that we'll know everything that's going on as we're lying there rotting.
Do you believe actually that there's a heaven where you go to?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Do you believe you're going to heaven?
I do. Sure.
So, absolutely. In a way, it'll be a beautiful thing. You'll
I
be
think
there.
So.
You'll be reunited with your loved ones.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah.
Who are you most excited to see?
To see everybody. To see my grandparents. I love them.
On the Baba and around the corner,
exactly,
Baba.
Exactly. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. I love them.
Does Papa believe in Olam Haba? What do you think? I can ask him later. What do you think he does?
He does.
You just looked at him and he nodded.
Yes.
But without looking over there now to him.
He does. He told it to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what do you talk about these things ever with
yes,
Papa?
We do. We talk. Right. And he reads to me a lot from the, what do you call it? From the, you know, the one that he studies.
The Talmud.
The Talmud.
The Gemara.
The Gemara,
yeah.
He reads a lot of paragraphs to me. There are a lot of paragraphs that I just don't agree with.
But he's enjoying that a lot.
Very much.
Daf Yomi.
That's it. Daf Yomi. Yeah, you see? He's a smart man.
He is a smart man.
He doesn't stop learning. Taught himself the computer and everything.
So Judaism is also a big a balm to you, a comfort to you.
Certainly is.
It's always been that way.
People who don't believe in Judaism, boy, they're a mess.
You mean Jews who don't believe?
Jews. Right.
Believe or practice?
Believe. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, you have been tutoring, helping young children here in New Jersey.
Well, every Thursday, Papa and I go to this school where there are only blacks and Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all assigned one child every year. This is our fifth year.
Yeah.
Fourth or fifth, right.
Yeah.
And we get these children, I love them, and we teach them. You know, we get our assignment for the day. We have to read a book, and we read a paragraph, and we have to explain what it is, and they have to write it, and then we check it and tell them change their spelling or their thoughts. And it's a lot. It's wonderful. It's a very, very nice thing to do, and we love it.
That's great.
Yes.
And Papa also loves it, too.
Oh, very much. Very much.
What was the name of your student that you had?
This one here, I forgot her name.
That's all right.
Alala. Oh, whatever. I forgot the others. Oh, I had, oh, God. I don't remember.
Don't worry. I'm horrible with names, too.
I'm horrible with names. You're too young.
But you were never really a school person, you've told me.
Right.
You didn't really love school.
No, I didn't.
But you enjoy...
I enjoy this. I enjoy going to the school and teaching children. Yes.
And what are some of the other things that you look forward to in the week?
In the week?
Yeah.
First of all, being well. Feeling good. That's what I look forward to. And speaking on the phone every day, finding out how everyone is. And meeting my friends sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoy going shopping with Papa. I would go to Costco. And we don't eat out too much, which I'm sorry to say.
You always like going out.
I love it.
And Papa likes staying in.
That's right.
And so you and I and Papa, we go off on about a monthly excursion.
Right.
And for you, it's
wonderful.
We go to a lecture, we go to a movie, but the thing you most enjoy is when we then go out and have a meal.
That's what I love, eating out.
What's your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food. I love spaghetti. I do. Mm-hmm. But I suddenly lost my appetite for meat. Isn't that funny? I don't touch meat.
No more.
No. Isn't that funny?
It's funny.
Yeah. I love dairy. Anything. Yeah.
What I wanted to ask is about going out now. You used to say that you wanted to live in New York City, right?
I sure did.
And Papa never wanted to.
Nope.
And you were the one, you weren't sure you wanted to have kids, and Papa wanted to. So
right.
You've always been a person who likes to...
fly.
That's right. And you're still flying here.
I certainly am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm looking forward to that date with Nina and her husband.
Jack and Ina Pollock.
Ina.
The right. Ones who were in the movie.
Yeah. I'm so looking forward to meeting them.
Yeah, what are you going to talk about?
Oh, people talk about getting old and what we do and how we met and our children. Did they have children?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's in the movie.
And that's what we'll do. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we'll talk about.
It's nice, and I think you've been excited, you've said to me also, to see an example. He's in his mid-90s.
That's right. And she's in her mid-80s.
That's right. But I mean to see people live a lot longer nowadays. They live healthy,
absolutely.
Happy lives a long time.
A lot of them people in their 80s. When I go to ShopRite, I sit down on the bench and wait for Papa, and they always talk with me, and they say, you know, I'm 89 or I'm 88, and it's every day. There are a lot. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people, do they ask you what your secret to success is?
They ask Papa, and he tells them a cigar a day and a lot of liquor.
He doesn't drink that much, does he?
Oh, my, a glassful.
Really?
Yeah.
Of whiskey?
Anything. Sure, as long as it's liquor.
Do you drink?
Hate it.
Do you smoke?
I used to, but not much.
Oh, yeah, cigarettes.
Yeah.
When did you quit?
How many years ago? 40?
Wow, how did you stop?
I just stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people struggle to stop.
Yeah, it wasn't a struggle because I smoked about 4 a day.
It wasn't too many?
No.
When did you have your first cigarette? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. When I was about 18, 19. Yeah, mm-hmm.
How did it happen? Who gave it to you?
Well, you know, you saw the movies, the people were smoking, and the glamorous girls, or you wanted to emulate them. And Papa never said anything.
He saw me smoke.
Mama did too.
Which movie stars?
Lana Turner, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, all those glamorous girls. And, you know, they looked so lovely, and I was young, and I wanted to do what they did. I'm sure Esty would like to emulate somebody in the movies. I'll find out later.
Yeah, but you haven't had too many vices.
No, not at all.
You like gambling?
I love the slot machine, and I'm going to go soon.
Where are you going?
Atlantic City.
Really?
I can't wait.
Do you ever win big?
Yeah. Papa won big the last time, about 800.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you like the slot machines?
It's fun. I relax with it.
You just sit there and you put the coins in.
That's
and pull
right.
The lever.
No more pulling lever. All you do, it goes by itself.
You press a button.
Nothing. You put your quarter in and it goes. Also, you press a button, yeah.
Do you do other kinds of gambling? Do you
no.
Do
I don't
play
like
cards?
No. Don't like it.
The roulette?
Nothing. Nothing.
What about Papa? What does he do?
He plays the slots, but he doesn't like it. He does it for me.
He doesn't
like it at all.
He finds it boring?
Very.
You go to Atlantic City, you stay there, and then you come home?
Yeah, we sleep overnight. Mm-hmm.
See?
And then we come home the next day.
That's
fun.
Love
it.
What about Papa? Does he have any vices aside from the smoking and the drinking?
No.
I mean,
No. He does not.
I remember he said to me that when you went to the Navy, you had to make a choice. You either went out with the ladies or you drunk. You got
right.
drunk and
right.
he learned to drink.
Right. I wasn't happy about that. He went away, never smoked or drank. He came home a shicker.
Did you ever talk to him about that?
No, if he's happy, I'm happy, really.
So that's another key, I think, to a happy
Absolutely.
Life together, is being able to let the other person, you know, within reason, but
right.
let the
well,
other person.
Of course, yes. And now, you know, I don't cook. He's so wonderful. He takes all kinds of junk and he makes the food. And really, he goes to the freezer and he takes out this and that. because I'm finished with cooking. I did a lot of it. No more.
You sure did.
Yeah.
Now you can relax.
That's right. And I'm enjoying every minute of it when I'm well.
And are there any last things you feel like saying about passing on, that when people years from now are listening back about their Baba or their Anda Baba, they're around the corner Baba.
I'll never
forget. Is there anything else you want to add?
I'll never forget them. They were wonderful.
That people else? Should, what would you want people to remember you by?
I want them to remember me by my love for my family. And love, just love. And having fun with them and playing with them, you know, because I adore each and every one of them. And I had some beautiful parties. I must show the film to Westy and David. You have to see it too. When Sylvia Lupkin made a beautiful toast to me, and everybody else did.
So love and happiness and parties, those are nice things to be remembered by.
Absolutely. And more love.